Yeah, g'day, mate. You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Before Stereolab, you heard Campbell Neal of Powers, and lucky us, we've got him in the studio here to talk to us. Kia ora, Campbell.
Kia ora. How's it going?
I'm going well. Good. Thank you. Thank you for that excellent live to air.
My pleasure.
That was wonderful and deeply impressive to watch.
Oh, cool. That's very nice of you to say that.
For those who don't know you, you are quite the prolific musician. We have maybe 40
billions
albums.
Oh, and I have close to 100, I think.
Yeah.
But let's not quibble.
I was going to say, when I was looking on Bandcamp in particular, I was trying to look through some of your stuff and I just kept scrolling and kept scrolling.
It's absurd. It's absurd.
No, but of that, there are some amazing achievements in that career. People might know you from Birchville Cat Motel, Black-Boned Angel, or Our Love Will Destroy the World. You've played with incredible musos.
I've been very lucky.
You've been very lucky, but also you've been very talented.
I've worked hard at it. Yeah.
And when we talk to us specifically about Powers as a project, where it sits in sort of your trajectory as a musician.
Yeah, okay. Powers for me is I'm just playing solo guitar. Sometimes when you hear live to ear or we hear a concert, you don't necessarily know that is just one guitar going all at once with no overdubs, no edits, no nothing. That's kind of the ethos with Powers. A lot of what I've been doing in the past has revolved. It all started off as home recording, basically. Learning how to use home recording equipment, 30-odd years ago. So it was very much a bedroom project. Very much me, mucking about at home, learning how to overdub things, learning how recording kind of worked. I seem to have taken that to some sort of nth degree, and like you say, there's far too many documents of that. The challenge for me at the moment is to take all that layering and all that multi-tracking and all that sort of density of layers that I guess I'm kind of known for, and to try and perform it in one go on one instrument without any sort of attempt to glamorize it beyond the moment.
Yeah, so that set that you played for us before, how much of that is planned beforehand? How much of that is improvised?
Well, a lot of it's improvised, but obviously the more I've been doing it on tour, the more I learn about the process. So little motifs and little sounds have begun to rear their head time and time again. It's like I find these little things and I enjoy going back to those spaces or the challenge of trying to go back to those spaces, and maybe it comes out a bit wrong, but you find something new. So it's a little bit half and half. It was very improvised at first. Fee was actually at my show up in Auckland, and that was the first show of the tour. It was like over a month ago, and what I'm playing now is quite different, even though I'm really just using the same stuff. I've learnt things over the process of the tour.
When we talk about layering and sort of the difficulties in maybe going back to a sound or a motif that appeared, I wonder if we could talk people through the setup and how you're playing, because your pedal board is quite something to behold. Right. How many pedals do you have on there?
Oh, as many as I can fit. That's actually the truth. I can't fit any more on. Well, in some ways, the pedals are the least of it. Ooh. In some ways. The pedals, I have, people might be familiar with the idea of fuzz pedals, distortion pedals. I look for particularly brittle and brutal sounding fuzz pedals, so I've got, quite a wee collection of the gnarliest little things I can find. I've got a wah pedal, which is all very Jimi Hendrix. I love Jimi Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix is a big part of what I do. But after that, it's really just a series of really quite traditional things. In some ways, I think what I'm doing at the moment is about the most traditional thing I've really ever done. It really just is guitar, effects pedals, amplifier. And in that sense, that's pretty trad. That's pretty Eric Clapton. There's not much more to it than that. What comes to it and what makes it sound different is that I kind of bring an aesthetic to it. Mm-hmm. I bring a way of thinking about music, and you may have heard that I try to limit myself to just one, maybe two notes. Mm-hmm. and just work with a very, very limited framework to sort of allow the music to come out by itself.
I wonder, how did you discover that framework? Because with noise, there is that thing that it is inherent. Well, overwhelming isn't the correct word, but it can be. There's towing that line between how do you keep something that has so much going on and you still have that aesthetic, like you said, and you make it creative and expressive. Because when I listened to that live tour, it was creative and expressive and emotional.
It's got a melody, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There are little songs buried in there.
Yeah, I wonder how you toe that line and sort of where it comes from.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up listening to song music. My background really isn't in noise. Mm-hmm. To be honest, I'm not even entirely sure what noise is. When I first heard noise music, I felt like I arrived to it about 10 years too late. It was something that was happening in Japan in the very late 80s and early 90s, and I kind of feel like I missed it. But yeah, you know, I have a lot of interests beyond, you know, what you might call experimental sound. Like I say, I love Jimi Hendrix. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love Jimi Hendrix? I like to hear a song within the music, and even if it's, you know, like what we're listening to now, Virtual Cat Motel was very much a very sedate and droning version of what I just played, but it is still very similar. It's just a couple of notes, and actually those limitations, I think, help you find that halfway space between, I mean, droning is one note, right? You can use one note and create a drone. If you've got three notes, I don't know, you're basically a punk band. And somewhere in the middle, those two notes, those little alternations and the timing between just sort of on and off, black and white, A flat and B flat, whatever you choose. The way that you alternate between those very, very limited means sort of, it doesn't stay the same all the way through, but it alternates in a very, very gentle way.
Mm-hmm. That was, I loved that explanation.
Oh, cool. I'm glad I'm making sense.
No, you're making
sometimes
sense.
Sometimes the answer is, honestly, I don't know. I don't know. It's this sort of magic carpet ride that we all take, and we are constantly trying to find that balance, and sometimes we step out too far and go, I lost it in a little moment. And you're trying to keep people in a space where they have an enlarged capacity to hear things. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I think the music is about ultimately from the listening perspective. You want to hear music that makes, or maybe draws attention to the fact that you're listening.
Yeah.
So it's like listening to listen.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Well, you go and see abstract paintings maybe, and that they're paintings that help you see. Mm-hmm. They help you see things. It's not necessarily a particular thing to see.
So I wonder with that, and when we're talking about those influences before, you talked about the noise scene in Japan in the 80s and 90s. When you're, I don't know if you search for those influences or if you're sort of recalling things from the past, what are you looking for? There is a huge amount of influences and inspiration that you have cited from the 40s up until the 90s up until now.
Mm.
What are you searching for? Is it maybe the use of two notes as you were talking about before? Is it the act of listening to listen? How do you find inspiration?
You know, I'm not sure I find music to be the primary place where I find that inspiration. I mean, sometimes if you go looking for influences, maybe the worst thing you could probably do is find them. It's like,
yeah,
okay, someone's actually already done that. But, you know, at the moment I'm on tour, but I've been joking with people that I've never really played guitar less for ages. Mm-hmm. I play guitar in the weekends on tour, but I've given myself all this time during the week to just enjoy being in places and to enjoy the weather and go for walks on the beach. And there's an aspect of not playing music. There's a feeling of like driving through the centre of the South Island and going, wow.
Yeah.
that's what I find inspiring. If I could make people feel like that, or if they have this capacity to be able to appreciate where they are and what they're doing, and that things are so much bigger than they thought they were, that would be amazing. However, of course, I'm a music nerd. I listen to music as well. The things I find which have inspired me, I usually find after the fact. And I go, oh, I do a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I do a little bit of that. I've written in my little bio that I love 60s psychedelic music. I like all those weird effects that people put way too much of all over the top of all the instruments. I love that. I love it when it overloads and gets too much. I love German kind of synth music from the 70s. I like punk music from the punk and hardcore from the 80s and that sort of post-punk. I grew up with bands like Husker Du, mm-hmm. you know, three-piece guitar bands that were, you know, half melody, half punk. 90s electronica, although I never really got into dance music, but I loved that electronic sounds were kind of coming into, you know, music that people were listening to, and 2000s noise, Scandinavian black metal, love that, like the lo-fi, you know, really terrible lo-fi, badly recorded sound, yeah, I love that. But yeah, these influences attach themselves after. Yeah. What I'm really looking for is my own music,
yeah.
Which, I don't know, maybe that sounds really obvious, but it's hard to find. You know, I've been doing this for 30 years now, and I feel like I'm maybe starting to find it. Yeah. It's, which is encouraging. Just keep it up, kids. 30 years later.
That's exactly it, I think. It is, and especially, I think, with the nature, as you talked about, of the changing nature of the sound, and the more you tour, the more the sound is changing.
Yeah.
That's quite bound to happen. It's, yeah. Your music is becoming a different thing the
and
more
to,
you tour.
To constantly challenge myself. You know, I think, who's ever heard of Powers? Bloody nobody. I've not put out an actual proper physical release. If, mm-hmm. if I wanted lots of people to come, I'd call myself Virtual Cat Motel or something else. But, it's a bit easy, isn't it? You know, I like to challenge myself. I like to do something new all the time. And when I do something for a bit long, I get bored with it. I want to find new things and new ways of, I like the challenge of being able to give myself a different problem and going, can I apply my aesthetic to just that or something else completely? Does it still sound like me, even if it's really different means?
When we talk about sound, I was wondering if I could pivot to a more visual thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
As insulting as it is that you are so incredibly prolific and talented as a musician, you are also a visual artist.
Yeah, like I say, I get bored easily.
So I wonder, is there an intersection for you between the two? Obviously, it's a hard thing with something that you're hearing with your ears and something that you're seeing with your eyes. Do you find that there is a link between either what you create or the process there?
Yes, but there is a link. I've thought about this a lot. Yes, there is a link, but I'm not entirely sure how to describe it. I'm still finding a language for that. Yeah, I think you're right. I've always gravitated towards visual art, which is colour-based, big fields of colour. It's always been abstract. It's always been non-representational. I've always felt like it's similar to the music. It has a scrawled kind of quality about it. It's not too flash. It's not too shiny. It's not representational. It doesn't symbolise anything. It really is marks and colour arranged in a certain way. And the closest thing I'm finding is that both of those activities, I was actually chatting to, you know, a friend just a week ago, and they've elucidated some of these ideas a little clearer. But just like we were talking about how maybe the music allows you to listen better, and of course we experience the world through our senses, so if you learn how to create the conditions for people where they can sense better, let's say in my case their ears, they learn to hear the world better. I think with painting, my paintings are hopefully about allowing people to find ways to see better.
So it's
a very hard thing to articulate. I definitely sense in myself there's a link, but the words to describe that are, they kind of elude me. I think
I think you articulated that well. And okay. I think, well, like you said before, sometimes it's just an I don't know question.
Sometimes it is I don't know. But I think the answer is yes. More recently, I just got into painting cats since COVID, which is something completely different.
You painted a really nice picture of my friend Holly's cat.
Awesome. I've painted a bunch of cool cats in Dunedin. Dunedin's big for me with cats.
To round it out, thank you for your time, Campbell. We could talk for ages. This is going well. But
Thank you for your time.
I'd like to talk. You played The Crown last weekend.
Yeah.
You played with Ghostbells and Porteous Wright.
That's right.
Well-established noise people of Dunedin. And before that, you played Littleton Coffee Company.
I do.
Up in Otatahi with The Escalation and Dyschezia Tenesmus.
Dyschezia Tenesmus.
Tenesmus.
It took a little bit of practice.
Thank you. I was struggling.
That's all right. Give it a couple of weeks.
I wonder if you... How has the tour gone? And as someone who has done such big international tours, I wonder how it compares if you have a tour story.
Yeah. It's been going very well. It's a bit, like I say, I'm really only playing in the weekends because I want more time. I'm in this lovely spot at the moment where I don't have a formal employment to go back to. I have kind of self-employment to go back to. So there's not quite the same time restrictions. Usually when you tour overseas, it's very restricted in terms of time. I've been a lot of places for one night. I've seen a lot of cities in the dark. I'm usually going all over the place every single day. You're trying to make the most of your time over there. It's lovely to be in New Zealand and to just appreciate how lucky we are here. I mean, I know we have diesel issues and all that kind of stuff, but wow, you know, the world's a pretty crazy place right now. And it seems like it's a very lucky thing to be able to drive around, take your time, stop where you want to. I bought a van last year, and so this is the first time I've really taken the van out and gone van camping, and it's been amazing. It's been so amazing. You know, playing the guitar is almost the least of it. I'm having such a hoot just being out and about and meeting people and just being a bit of a social animal for a while for a deeply introverted person like myself. It's a lovely change.
It does. You're doing the New Zealand thing. You're in your van.
I am.
You're taking your time.
I know. I told you I was trad. I'm so trad.
Well, Campbell, thank you so much for your live to air.
My pleasure.
Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making that happen.
And yes.
Thank you for coming in and having this chat. You've articulated, I thought, your ideas very well.
Awesome. Thanks, Cass. Appreciate it.
I hope we'll see you at Radio 1 again very soon.
I hope so too.
And for now, we're...
Yeah, now, Siebs, that was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.